So the session this morning will follow similar rhythm to yesterday. We'll start with some kind of overview of the practice, and then we will have a guided practice applying that, and then some suggestions for the walking, and we'll flow on from there into the rest of the morning. Maybe because I mentioned that, I'll just say that then, as Nathan mentioned yesterday, the question and response period at 12 o'clock, you're really welcome to come for. But if you feel at any point that you've had enough words and you want the silence, then feel free to carry on doing walking or stillness practice outdoors at that time. So yesterday, in the talk, I was kind of touching on, exploring on a few threads that I'd like to kind of open out more this morning and then bring into our practice. And kind of the first one is this question that we can kind of keep gently alive for us as we practice, which is, you know, what does emphasizing or prioritizing sila and metta, what does that look like in our practice? What does that actually look like? How does it impact? And so one way that we can see this is that when we emphasize sila and metta, we might kind of choose or play with a way of looking. You know, we don't have to accept it as the truth, but just as a way of looking that could be interesting, which is to see everything that arises as arising to be met with care and kindness. Whatever's arising in experience, you know, I'm a little bit cold, I'm a little bit warm, porridge is too salty, it's not salty enough, you know, whatever arises. What happens if we just kind of have that sense? What if I just kind of have this like intention to see whatever is arising as arising to be met with care and kindness and attended to with care and kindness? So, you know, it's helpful to remember in our practice is about transforming dukkha. You know, this Pali word is, I'd say, often translated as suffering. You know, has quite a wide range of meanings: discontent, unease. I really like Thich Nhat Hanh's translation. Translates dukkha as ill-being. Yeah, the opposite of well-being. We've used well-being quite a lot, so the opposite of that. Ill-being, all the way from like things being a little bit kind of off to, you know, greater distress that we might be experiencing as well, that whole range of experience. So, you know, remembering our practice is about transforming dukkha, ending dukkha, even for ourselves and for others, for all beings. And if we look at the, you know, one of the core teachings, or maybe the core teaching of Buddha Dharma, you know, the Four Noble Truths, you know, it's right there, you know, where the Buddha is reminding us, you know, there is dukkha in the human experience. There is dukkha in the human experience. And we've been using this phrase, right? It's like this right now. That just recognizes in moments when you notice this. There is, it's like this right now. There's some degree of discontent or ill-being with something. And just, it's like this right now. We acknowledge that's kind of the first noble truth. And the second that reminds us, points us to see that dukkha, ill-being, arises with and from, dependent on causes and conditions. It's not just kind of manifesting out of the air. It arises dependent on causes and conditions, including the what and the how of our attention. That's right. That's meditators. That is interesting for us, really interesting. But including things like contraction and demand. Maybe tighten up in this kind of pushing away what we don't like and pulling towards us what we do. Tighten and contract the way we kind of have friction and struggle with our experience and demand that things are a certain way. I've got so many little examples of that on retreat. Sometimes, things like the amount of light in the room or the amount of ventilation or the temperature, they become like real issues because we have different perspectives on them. No, not all the same, thank goodness. And yet, in that moment, there's like, but this is the right way. It has to be like this. This amount of light. Who designed a meditation space with fluorescent lights? Who did that? We see the kind of friction that arises. And we can just, learn to relax and ease that. There is a meditation space. And it's like this right now. It's not ideal. It's not perfect. So we can start to see how dukkha arises, with and from causes and conditions, including the what and the how of our attention, including the ways that we habitually contract and react. And then, this reminder, which I think we can already see, humor is a good reminder that freedom and a beneficial response to experience are possible. It's possible for us to transform how we meet things, to move from reactivity to response. And as we do so, it's possible to walk this path. And there is a path of teachings, of practices that's available for us that we can cultivate that leads us towards freedom and towards responsiveness rather than just habitual, intentional responsiveness rather than just habitual reactivity. So, back to kind of how we use this in practice. Just recognize, and this is this goal that we've been talking about, it's becoming familiar with, getting to know. Just recognizing it's like this right now. Whatever this is, pleasant or unpleasant, it's like this right now. And we have this caring, curious, light touch as much as possible with that. And it's like this right now. And just that sometimes can be revolutionary. Just that recognition. It's like this right now. Instead of that habitual kind of momentum into reactivity. Already, just that recognition relaxes some of the contraction, expands and broadens our perspective and the degree of space that we have available and opens up possibilities. So just that can be really transformative. And sometimes it's very quiet, so it's worth kind of really paying attention to see what happens when I just meet with recognition and with interest, with curiosity. And as we do so, we're attuning again and again to these qualities of care, goodwill, friendship, in how we meet our experience. So it's not like, it's like this right now. Who cares? It's like this right now. And there's that sense of metta and care in there. It's like this right now, and I care. And I care. Well, I at least have the intention to cultivate a caring response. As we kind of bring that caring intention, it supports us to then let go, put down. This is the third parami, renunciation. Putting down, letting go of what is unnecessary and unhelpful. And the Buddha had a beautiful image for this. It's like we realize, it's like we're realizing we're gripping onto a hot coal. Yeah, we're gripping onto something that's causing distress and ill being. When we notice that, we realize that it's easy to let go. Then, in that recognition, so we can let go, and we need to do it sometimes again and again. You know, a thought pattern will arise, and we let go. It will arise, and we let go. Keep putting it down. So with metta and sila, with that care, we can let go of what is unnecessary and unhelpful. And we can attune and give the gift of our attention to what is beneficial, to what is beautiful, to what is nourishing, to what brings ease and expansiveness and spaciousness. So a lot of our practice is around this kind of cultivation again, the letting go, the not feeding that which is not helpful, not beneficial, not for our long-term well-being and happiness, and the cultivation, the nourishment of that which is. And we need that initial, it's like this right now, so that we can start to discern, that we can tell what is here. And as I said last night, we do this to whatever degree is possible. Yeah? Even a little bit is a lot. Yeah? A little bit is a lot. Sometimes we use this example, you know, we say like, if we're walking, yeah? And recently, you know, we just were teaching a trekking retreat up in Sami land, yeah? In the north, what is commonly called Lapland, but actually is Sami land. And, you know, walking off path, not on paths. And so you can really see this, you know, if you just change the degree, the direction of your walking just by a tiny little bit, just like this much even, over time, yeah, it's going to take us to a completely different place. So even a tiny little change is meaningful. So don't underestimate the small shifts that we make. So we're continuing and we're remembering, you know, the what of attention is the anchor that we're choosing when we practice. The breath, primarily today, if possible, and if not, body or sound, and I'll speak a little bit more about that in a moment. And the how, you know, is this curiosity, this friendly curiosity, interest, sensitivity, gentleness, in the meeting, in the encounter that we're nourishing and developing. And from this how, you know, there can be more responsiveness to the experience. Yeah, that sense of, you know, we're meeting the experience in this way, and then, you know, there's something that we can put down, let go of. Is there something that we want to give more attention to? Because what we give attention to grows, yeah. It's like attention is magic. We give attention to something, and you know that's why we're developing this skill partially, and that becomes more prominent in our experience. It becomes our experience. So we're going to continue today with something that Nathan mentioned yesterday, which is to see if we can breathe, you know, if we're using the breath, and that'll be the kind of primary invitation to use the breath and to see if we can breathe in a way like a longer breath, you know, a more spacious breath. And, you know, as a beneficial response, as a beneficial movement. Sometimes we say this and people say, ah, but we're not supposed to do that. You know, we're just supposed to observe the breath as it is. You know, that's the basic mindfulness instruction that most of us will know. So this is a real middle way, you know, it's not, if you know, some of the yoga breathing techniques where the breath is very, very intense and very, really worked with. It's not that, yeah. So it's not like we're going to hear each other breathing, yeah. It's just a light invitation for the breath to go longer and potentially go deeper, yeah. Because for most of us, a longer breath can feel, yeah, over time, we have to get used to it, kind of more nourishing, more beneficial, yeah, and bring more sense of ease and well-being into the body, heart, mind, which is what we're looking for. So kind of breath after breath, we're lengthening or inviting, really importantly, inviting the breath to lengthen, to be longer. And that can really support the gathering and settling in well-being for us. So it can become a real resource. And we're doing this in an atmosphere of care, of wishing for our own well-being. Now here's the meta. So if we're using the breath, and I'll come to some alternatives in a moment, if it's possible for us to use the breath, if that's beneficial for us, and remembering, you know, we're breathing in a way that supports the growing well-being, you know, of this system. So we're inclining through the way we're breathing and attending towards more well-being. Yeah? So it's an act, an embodiment of metta, of care for ourselves. And so this is, again, this attuning the experience, shaping the experience through the what and the how of attending. So the what of attending is the breath in this case. Yeah. Or, again, I'll come to some alternatives in a moment, so hang in there if you don't want to work with the breath. And then kind of also the what is whatever is nice, nourishing, okay in the experience as we're breathing. Yeah, so we're attending to any well-being that arises there. And the way of looking is that curiosity and interest, and it's also that sense of appreciation. Yeah, appreciating, caring, allowing, interested in any well-being that opens up through the way of breathing. We're also kind of letting go, yeah, at the same time letting go, easing, stabilizing, grounding, yeah, because distractions will arise, you know, obstructions will arise, difficulty will arise, even as we're doing this. And we're kind of letting go and easing through the breath as we practice, and gathering, collecting, soothing, and calming. Again and again. So, you know, as I'll repeat kind of what I said about the breath, we're going to just explore inviting a longer breath, if that's possible for us, because that supports often for many of us a sense of well-being and gatheredness. So try it out. Some of you may be familiar with this already. If the breath isn't an appropriate anchor for you, and that can be for a variety of reasons, then use sound, or if you're familiar with metta practice, use metta instead. Yeah. And the way you would do that, so substituting, using a different anchor instead of the breath, is that you're using the sounds, or you're using metta, but you're tuning in as you're doing that, as you're attending to the anchor, you're tuning in to any well-being that arises with that anchor. So if you're using metta, it might be kind of well-being of the metta when it grows, or just that the well-being of that intention of care towards yourself or towards others, whichever way you're practicing. If you're using sounds, just that sense of the spaciousness that opens up with the soundscape. A spaciousness that can have a lot of nourishment and well-being in it. Sometimes just the kind of, you can just kind of relax back into the flow of sounds. It's a very effortless anchor for attention. So there can be a well-being that comes just from, it's just this flow of sound. Now just listening. Great sense of relief and ease that can come with that. So I will be guiding the practice kind of with using breath, just to make it simple. But please substitute. If the breath isn't a helpful anchor for you, just substitute that with the sound or with metta. Does that make sense at this point? Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, it may feel like it's asking a little bit more of you if you're using sound and metta, but hopefully it's clear that you're just attuning to the well-being that arises, you know, through attending to the anchor with interest, you know, with care, and with that metta wish for our well-being, you know, that kindness and attention. Okay. So, yeah, let's practice. We're going to have about half an hour for the practice. So if you need to just stretch for a moment and then find your posture again or change from one posture to a different one, then please do. So taking a few moments to settle into the posture. Checking in with the body as you do so, and making any adjustments that may be needed or helpful so the body feels as supported. Stable and steady as possible. Checking in with a balance of uprightness and ease in the body. As you do so, the awareness and the attention coming more fully and deeply into the body space. It's helpful grounding and settling the awareness with the sensations of contact, meaning the body in contact with the ground and the seat, with that which is supporting the body right now. From that groundedness, let's feel and expand the awareness through the whole body. Having a sense of the whole body. Yeah. There's a kind of a generalized sense of the body. You don't need to feel each part, but more the awareness. Spread through the whole body. Including the whole body. We might let the awareness even expand a little bit beyond the body, so that we're feeling this bubble or cocoon of awareness, slightly larger than the body space, including the body. This whole space filled with awareness. This knowing quality. So we're meeting our experience, this whole body awareness, with interest, with curiosity, like this right now. We're remembering this intention. Practice as a movement, an act of care and kindness. Can we meet anything that arises as if it was arising in order to be met with care and kindness? And keeping the awareness wide and open through the whole body. Remembering the intention, curiosity, care, kindness. Tuning in to the breath or any alternative anchor that's more useful for you this time. And feeling the breath moving, feeling its movement through awareness in the body. The flow and the movement of the breathing. Gently inviting the breath to be a little bit longer. Perhaps a little bit deeper than its habitual way of happening is. So inviting the breath to lengthen, and to deepen. Just taking your time here, there's no rush as we drop in the invitation. Not forcing, not putting any pressure on the breathing. Just inviting. Inviting the breath to deepen and lengthen. coming close to your experience in this moment. However it's unfolding, it's like this right now. Pausing and meeting. Putting down, letting go of whatever is unhelpful. And attending with curiosity and kindness to the breathing. Letting the awareness be wide and open through the whole body. It will tend to shrink to get smaller. You just gently keep opening it out. Attending to the breathing. Inviting the breath very gently to lengthen, to deepen. Welcoming it to be long. Feel the energy of the breath spreading deeply through and into the body, and flowing out quite smoothly on the out-breath, releasing. Noticing any sense of nourishment, well-being, pleasantness that arises as you breathe in this way, as you attend in this way. And tuning into that as well. Letting it nourish you, opening to it. You continue to attend to the breath, inviting it to be long, letting it open your experience towards more well-being, more nourishment, as we continue to practice. What's unfolding in this moment? It's like this right now. We meet with kindness, curiosity, and care. And there's distraction, acknowledging, aha. It's like this right now. Soften back through the body. Letting go of any tension, holding. Bringing the awareness of the out-breath to areas that feel contracted or tense. Noticing the breath can ease tension. Allowing the breath to guide us back into the body. Opening awareness to that whole cocoon or bubble. We continue to breathe to attend to the anchor. Connecting to this pleasant, comfortable, nourishing a breath as possible. As pleasant, nourishing, comfortable. Attending to the anchor that you've chosen is possible. Over and over, feeling the breathing, feeling the nourishment and the well-being of the breathing through the whole body. As you invite the breath to be long, feeling it fill whole body, the whole space of awareness within and around the body. As you breathe out, letting go, letting the body, letting awareness expand, soften and ease. Whole body breathing in well-being as we continue to practice. Moment by moment. I'd like to just offer a little recap of the main points of the practice and then speak a little bit about bringing it into the walking. So that attitude of care and kindness, everything that arises is arising to be met with care and kindness, holding that as a way of looking that we're using. That interest and curiosity in attention, and the acknowledgement, the recognition, it's like this right now, whatever the this is. And then working with the breathing, if that's possible for us, inviting it to be long, deep, or maybe another way that you can work with the breathing that kind of attunes it towards more nourishment and more well-being and pleasantness. And we're using this whole body awareness. I spoke about this cocoon, a bubble of awareness, if possible for us. We're expanding the awareness. It's this whole body awareness. And we use that also if the anchor that you're using is sound or metta. It's still helpful to ground in this kind of light touch awareness through the whole body. And that real attunement to the well-being, the nourishment that arises in the practice. Without making it a problem if there isn't any that we can perceive. Yeah, it's like practice and we'll start to tune in to that. We can bring the same into the walking or similar into the walking. So really encouraging the walking practice, possible outdoors, but you can also do it indoors. There's not that many of us. So you might find a bit of corridor or dining room where you can also do a walking practice if that feels more supportive for you, or potentially even in your room. Yeah. Walking up and down, that's also possible, even if it's a shorter space. So yeah, we want to have, you know, as much, a little bit at least, you know, that we can do 10 paces and then find for yourself what kind of length is helpful for you. And we can use that same whole body awareness. So this is how I like to do walking practice. You know, begin with standing. Stand, feel the feet rooting into the earth. Feel that support. And then from there, just feel the awareness expanding through the whole body. Again, you have this sense of like whole body's like a bubble or cocoon of awareness. There's the gathering and the spreading of the awareness through the whole body. And from there, once that's gathered in the standing, beginning to walk, beginning to take steps. And we can tune into that sensitivity in that walking, to that sense of care in the walking, that sense of kindness in the walking as well, and the appreciation. It's this wonder of a body moving through the earth, the wonder of the earth receiving our footsteps. We can tune into that. And you know, as often as needed, you know, you can stop and stand again. You know, I like to do that whenever I find that I've gotten lost, I've gotten distracted. I stand, I gather again. Doesn't matter if I end up standing more than walking. I stand, gather again. And when I have that sense of this whole body, this bubble, cocoon of awareness is then again taking steps of peace, taking steps of kindness, steps of care on the earth. So you know, that sense of nourishment, that sense of delicacy, delicate sensitivity as you tune into the body awareness as you move. And the primary anchor of our attention in the walking, as Nathan said yesterday, can be the movement, the footsteps, or the movement of the body on the earth and through the space, through the air. And then we're tuning into that sense of nourishment, of beauty, of wonder. Taking that Han quote, playfully dialoguing with Jesus. Taking that Han used to say, the miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk at all. So having that sense of this wonder of the body moving through the space and the beauty of that. So, last thing to say before we kind of continue our practice, having a sense of that continuity, even if you need to care for the body, you know, there's a continuity, going to the toilet, getting a drink, and then continuing with the walking, and then back to the sitting. This afternoon we'll have small group meetings for everyone, With some groups will meet at 3:45, some groups will meet at 5 o'clock. We'll put that up, the list of groups and when you're meeting at lunchtime. Yeah, so check the notice board at lunch to see what time you're meeting and where. And if there's a sense of, as I say that, opportunity to relax. No need to prepare. It's gonna appear when it appears. We just want to let you know in good time that it's gonna happen this afternoon, so that you check the notice board and that you come. But yeah, no need to prepare, and no need to say much in the sessions themselves. We'll say more in the group meetings when they happen. So a bit of sunshine out there. Luring us, inviting us outdoors or indoors, wherever you wish to do your practice. So may it be nourishing, and we will meet back here in half an hour.